Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you this morning from God the Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you this morning. As we continue our sermon series, Pop and Pray, it's interesting that when Pastor Morgan was praying, his headset was popping. But just as a reminder, if you didn't get one of these bracelets that are out there, make sure you get one as you're leaving. We have them out on the guest table in the back. And Pastor Hildebrand, who is not here today, started the series Pop and Pray. And in this series, we're dealing with anxiety. And our anchor scripture this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And it reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As I was preparing for this series, I thought about the bracelets that we have and the purpose for them is every time you feel anxious, whether you're in the workplace or at home, or you're dealing with a situation or a circumstance or a difficult person, or you're just having a hard day, always remember to just pop yourself and be reminded to pray. I was thinking about back in the 90s. I remember when I first came to the U.S. in 1996, I went to a church with a bunch of youth and young adults, and everyone was wearing these bracelets. Back in the 90s then, it was WWJD, those of you who grew up in the 90s. And the question of the age back then was, what will Jesus do? So if you had your WWJD bracelet on back in the day and you found yourself in a precarious situation, if you were with a friend, a Christian friend, they will gently, sometimes not so gently, remind you, what will Jesus do? And maybe you were in the line of the Chick-fil-A and somebody was behind you. I don't know if we had Chick-fil-A's back in those days, but you were in the line somewhere. And you wanted to be a good Samaritan, or you wanted to pay it forward or pay for the person's meal behind you, your bracelet will be a good reminder because it will say, what will Jesus do in this case? You know, maybe you are in the line at the grocery store and somebody cut you, you know, cut the line and got in front of you. And they didn't even have 20 items. It's like, this line is for the 20 items people. Come on. You have like 40 items in there cutting the line, you know. What will Jesus do was the purpose of that bracelet. And it served as a reminder when faced with life's challenges, we ask that question. WWJD was a constant reminder to look to Jesus as a role model. That was the purpose of that. And that hasn't changed today. God has called us, and Jesus still expects us to look to him as a role model, to look to him as a model for how to live the Christian life. Now, I know a lot of you young people, you have great parents, hopefully and prayerfully, great Christian parents that you often look to, and that's a great thing. But if some of the parents in here are anything like me, you know, we're flawed people, and we have shortcomings, and a lot of times we disappoint our children. I tell my children a lot of time, especially if they call me on the carpet on something, and they say, well, Daddy, why, you know, you tell us all the time not to do this and that, but why, you know, maybe I cut somebody off in traffic or something and, you know, yelled in the African cuss word that they don't know. And they're like, that sounded like a cuss. I'm like, how do you know? But, right? And what will You know, that's not a good example. And I tell him, I say, well, you should be looking to Jesus anyway. Jesus is the perfect example. I'm not perfect. I'm a flawed human being. And we should all be looking to Jesus. And the reason is because as we deal this morning with peace in living and dying, which is our subject this morning under the theme Pop and Pray, we see that Jesus modeled for us what it means to walk in peace in life, in suffering, and in death. Hebrews 4:15 says that we do not have a high priest who is not touched by the feelings of our infirmity. We have a high priest who empathizes with us. This is the very reason for which Jesus came. Because if he was just a faraway king and God was in heaven and just saying to us, you know, here are my commandments, live like this, live like that, do this and do that. At some point, we as human beings would have accused him and said, well, you don't know what it's like to be us, right? And so he came in the flesh. He wanted to experience and he wanted to go through what we go through so that he could empathize with us, so he could know what it feels like to be human. What it feels like to be anxious at times. What it feels like to be fearful at times. What it feels like to suffer in the flesh. And so the scripture tells us that he came through the volume of the books, through 42 generations. He said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. And he came in the flesh. He experienced suffering in the flesh. See, Jesus was not this Gnostic Christ that is talked about, who was a partial spiritual being and partial, you know, person, and he was this half and half being. He wasn't really human, you know. He was actual human. He felt pain. He felt suffering. He knows what it's like to go through the anxiety of life. And remember, I know this week I had an anxious moment. This week, I had some things that was going on in my family, and even as I was getting ready to come to church today, I kept getting text messages and one news after the other, and I guess the enemy knew that I was going to talk about anxiety, or maybe God was trying to let me feel a little bit of anxiety so I could relate to you a little better, right? But Jesus modeled for us what it means to walk in peace in life, in suffering, and in death. No matter the situation, Jesus was always at peace, never anxious, never fearful. We see in Luke 23, in our gospel reading this morning, as he's getting ready to be crucified, he's on his way to the cross, and the women are crying, and they're weeping, and they're saying, why are you trying to crucify this good man, this good teacher, the prophet? Why are you trying to kill him? And Jesus said, weep not for me, daughters of Jerusalem. He said, but weep for yourselves and for your children. He said, because I know the purpose for which I was born. I know why I came into the world. I came to die. I came to make all things right. So I go to the cross joyously. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He took it on. He said, bring it on. Now, some of you may ask the question this morning. You say, you know, but he was Jesus. I mean, it seemed as if with everything that Jesus went through in life and all of the suffering that he endured, it seemed as if he was never bothered. You know, did it really get to him? Was this really a thing for him? Of course it was. Of course Jesus felt anxiety. Of course he was tired at times. Of course he was afraid at times. We see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and he said, God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. He felt pain. He felt suffering. I was telling the 8:30 service this morning, back in the day during my dating days, long time ago, because I'm 17 years deep now. And the 50 years, people are like, look at you. That's nothing. 17 years deep. But back in the day when I was dating, I used to write girls, and young people, you could take note. I used to write girls these like lovely poems and, you know, poetry and whatnot. I thought I was Mr. Cool. And at the end of it, I would say, calm, cool, and collected. Anyways. So it seemed like Jesus was always calm, cool, and collected. He always had it together. And it didn't matter. And we see this is because Jesus had a perspective, okay? As we watch Jesus, this is what Jesus does. He helps shape our perspective on peace. John 14 and 27 tells us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. If you notice the words that I underline there, not as the world gives. Okay? Jesus shifts our perspective on suffering as well. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus, he doesn't guarantee that you wouldn't have trouble. So you will have trouble in this world. You will have tribulation in this world. In fact, there are times where you're just going to think your kids are just going crazy. Like, what is wrong with these? You know, oh my God, somebody pray for me. Call the prayer team. And there are times you're just going to think the world is going crazy. If you live in the world today, you know, it's just, I mean, just when you look at social media and you look at what's happening around our world today, it seems like the world is on fire. And it's cause for anxiety. It's cause to be concerned. But Jesus shapes our perspective. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart. Why? Because I've overcome the world. By watching and studying Jesus, we gain an eternal perspective on peace and on suffering. We discover that Jesus had a secret to walking in peace. So this is what I want to zero in on this morning, just before I let you go. So I was preparing, I realized, I said, what it is? I said, I know, I understand anxiety, I understand fear, I understand that we all deal with those things. But what was Jesus' secret? Why is it that Jesus was always cool, calm, and collected? Why is it that Jesus always had a peace about him? No matter what it was, I don't care if Jesus was on the boat and there was a storm, he was asleep. It's like, seriously? Disciples are looking at each other, he's sleeping? I mean, so yeah, he was probably snoring. He was at peace. Because he knew who had the power. He knew his God. But what was Jesus' secret? Here's a clue from our anchor passage this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. What's the secret? There it is. Jesus' secret was prayer. This was the secret. You know, I was telling the 8:30 service again, I said when I first came to the U.S., all my stories are back in 96 because that's when I made my biggest mistakes. Well, I still make some now. But back then, I can tell you stories that blow your mind. And I went through the drive-through, and I bought a burger. And my sister said, did you get the secret sauce? I'm like, the secret sauce? What's the secret sauce? She said, no, go back through. Go back and ask for the secret sauce. You have to put the secret sauce on it, man. It's gonna taste better, right? So I went back through the line, and the lady gave me this little packet, and there was the secret sauce. I'm like, so what's in it? She said, I can't tell you. It's a secret. You know? It was amazing. But Jesus' secret was prayer. And so what I did, I came up with a few POP phrases this morning, right? The acronym POP and pray. And the idea is, as you're walking around and you have an anxious moment, as you're doing life this week and you have a moment where you're just a little anxious or you're a little fearful, just remember to pop and pray. So each time you pop yourself, remember one of these things. Remember that because of Jesus, you have the privilege of prayer. Because of Jesus, you know the purpose of prayer. Because of Jesus, you understand the priority of prayer. And finally, the power of prayer. I'm just going to close very quickly. The privilege of prayer. In Christ, we have the covenant right, the privilege as children to ask for God's intervention. John 1:9 through 13 tells us, "For as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the covenant right, to be sons of God, to be children of God." It is your right, it's your covenant right to have access to the throne room of God because you are a child of God. Because of the cross, we have unrestricted access to the throne room of God. And as Hebrews 4:16 says, we can boldly come into the throne room of God where we can obtain grace. The purpose of God. Prayer is not made for God to find out what we need. Quite the opposite. We ought to pray for four main reasons. And I have these reasons quickly. I'm going to breeze through them. Prayer expresses our trust and dependence on Him. Psalm 23. Prayer brings us into deeper fellowship with God. And He delights in our fellowship. Prayer gives us the opportunity to be involved in activities that are of eternal importance. Prayer invites God into our circumstances and seeks His will. And under the priority of prayer, what I would encourage you is that there is no substitute for prayer. There is no substitute. You can read your Bible. You can call a friend. You can come to church. At the end of the day, you still have to hit your knees. You still have to pray. There is no substitute for prayer. And finally, under the power of prayer, Philippians 4:7 teaches us that prayer calms the soul. Prayer beats back the darkness. Ephesians 6:10 through 18, tells us that prayer beats back the darkness. And James 5:14 says, is there any sick among you? Call the elders of the church. And a prayer of faith and the anointing with oil will heal the sick. Do you think anxiety is up there as an illness? Would you say? Do people get prescriptions for anxiety? I was at the hospital the other day and they brought in a young man. And he was having a panic attack. Okay, his anxiety had gone into overdrive and it had become a panic attack. To where he was having a heart attack. Because of the panic attack, his blood pressure was so high, and they had to stabilize him. They had to calm him down and give him sedatives and all of that. But James 5:14 through 16 says, prayer heals the sick. By all means, go see a doctor. It's a good thing. But at the end of the day, come to the church. Call somebody. Find a prayer warrior. Get some prayer. Call the elders of the church. We have several elders here this morning. And at the end of this service, one thing I'll invite you to do, at the end of communion today, at the close of the service, we're going to have some of the elders and prayer warriors up front. If you need prayer, don't hesitate. I don't have an anxiety bag up here this morning. But we have prayer warriors. Amen. They're going to pray with you, and they're willing to pray with you. And just one final word. Guard your thought life. Because as we read our anchor scripture, the part that is left out is Philippians 4:8, where Paul says, whatsoever thing is lovely, whatsoever thing is of a good report, think on these things. Think on these things, because at the end of the day, with anxiety, you have to think on the positive things, because it's so easy to become cynical. It's so easy to allow your thoughts to run away with you. When faced with anxiety, pop your bracelet to be reminded of the privilege of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the priority of prayer, and the power of prayer. And everyone says, amen.